Hey everyone, welcome to Marvel Champions Monthly, where we talk about the Fantasy Flight game Marvel Champions, the card game. Today we have a short one-shot episode. We're going to be talking about the recently spoiled Wrecking Crew encounter set cards, what we think about them, some strategy tips, and then a little bit about the lore for the Wrecking Crew. So today this is Kennedy Hawk, one of the hosts. I got two awesome co-hosts with me. So I have Crimson. How is it going, Crimson?
Hey, what's up, guys?
And we have Lester from the North.
Keeping it real.
So we got Wrecking Crew spoilers, all excited about it. FFG did that live stream that showed off the four villains, and then they put an article up the same day. So let's get reading the cards. Lester, can you read the cards off for us?
I will do my best. So first of all, I think this is a really interesting nod to how they could potentially go anywhere with the design of this game. So we'll start here with the main scheme. It's called Breakout. It starts with the condition is six threat per player. Let's say you lose the game. And it adds one, but there's a special way that it actually adds threat. So at the end, it looks like at the end of the villain phase, you place one threat on every side scheme, each side scheme, and then you move the active counter to the villain who has the highest scheme level on his side scheme. So that's really interesting because, I mean, you're fighting four villains in this. Obviously, it would be too much if they all activated simultaneously. So this seems almost like a threat management, like game totally based on threat management. And I do believe you can lose the game if this, because it ticks up once every turn. So there's a six turn counter on it on this scenario per player.
So from my understanding, how it's going to work out is you're going to start with the setup, which is put Day of Reckoning, Thunderstruck, pile it on, and clear the road side schemes into play. And then you have the four villains already in play. And then so the force response of the main scheme is after one of your villain phases, after step one of the villain phase, you're going to place a threat on each of those side schemes. And then whichever side scheme has the most threat, that villain becomes the active villain or the villain that's attacking and doing the stuff, right?
Yeah, that's what it seems like to me. These images that I'm reading off of are quite small. So I'm struggling there. But as far as I understand it, you have four villains in play. Each has their own unique side scheme. That if they are the active villain and they're scheming, they'll add to that. And then there's effects that only add to the side scheme. The only way, from what I understand, that this main scheme gains any threat is the once per turn. Like every turn, you add one threat to the breakout as kind of like the timer. But as a force response, like you said, all of those side schemes get ticked up one, and then the villain, the activated villain, will be the one with the highest threat on their side scheme.
Now, the one thing that I noticed that's very peculiar about this is normally you put one threat on the main scheme per player. This does not have the per player icon. So it's just one threat. So if you have two people, then you get 12 turns before this would go off.
In a two player game, it would be 12 turns, yeah. And in exactly, so you have more turns. That actually is really interesting. I never thought.
Yeah, it is strange to see a main scheme not scale with the players.
Yeah, but the villain's still going to attack twice per turn and have two hazard cards per turn. So the main scheme will only gain one, but you're throwing five threat out there. So like the extra four threat kind of makes up for the only one total. Until you get to three or four players when you're actually getting like a benefit from it, right?
Oh, interesting. This is such an interesting group of people.
Yeah, I feel like that's just used kind of as a timer for the game, really. I mean, the meat of this comes from each individual villain and their side scheme. And so I think it needs to be stressed, too, that they all have their own unique encounter deck and that there are no modular encounters added to each of those decks.
Shadows of the Past.
Yeah, that's what I heard. So you don't even use the standardized one, and you don't even worry about your obligations or your nemesis for this particular one. It seems hard enough without having to add that in. So let's move on here to the villains. We've got Wrecker, who's a villain with 3 scheme, 3 attack, the trait Wrecking Crew, and now all of the villains...
This is his hard mode side, B side.
Oh, this is B. I didn't even realize we had B.
Yeah, they uploaded in a weird order. That's my fault.
Yeah, so each villain has an A and a B. A is normal mode. I'm not going to call it easy mode. And B is like, next game, please.
So I'm assuming they did that because they weren't adding in additional scenarios. This is just one all-inclusive scenario. So they wanted to be able to make the difficulty variable. Which is nice, because, I mean, with this many cards in a set, then they couldn't really add another scenario with these villains. So I apologize. That's the B side. That's the harder side. The standard Wrecker has 2 scheme and 2 attack. Whenever he schemes, you instead of placing threat on the main scheme, you place it on his side scheme. And whenever he is attacking, he gets +2 attack if his attack goes undefended, which is brutal. His side scheme is called Day of Reckoning. Clever. And it cannot leave play as long as Wrecker is in play. And then it has an ability called Hard Hitter, Forced Response. After a threat is placed here, if there are 10 or more threat tokens on it, deal 2 damage to each friendly character, and then remove all but 3 threat from this scheme. So it is a perpetual smash your face and all of your.
And they did mention this in their stream that it does say friendly character, not hero. So even if you're in your alter ego mode, you'll take the 2 damage.
And all your allies, too.
Which I think is fitting because it feels to me almost like the theme they're using for this set is that you're like stopping them from breaking out of prison. So it doesn't really make sense to go back into your alter ego mode too much, thematically speaking.
Yeah, one cool thing to note is it starts at 6 threat and all the other ones start lower. So he's like the leader of the Wrecking Crew, and he's probably going to go first unless you remove a bunch of threat turn one.
Yeah, that's what I think the designer, I think Caleb Grace noted that it was intentionally done. So on the first round, he would go first, or is most likely to go first. And then he's got a couple of cards here they spoiled. They all have an attachment, and Wrecker's attachment is Wrecker's Command. It adds one scheme to his abilities, and then it is attached to Wrecker and has a forced response. After Wrecker schemes, place 1 threat on each other villain's side scheme. And then as a hero action, you can spend 2 physical resources and to discard this card. So you can remove his command from him, but at quite a high cost. It's neat. It gives him that leadership kind of flavor. And then his piece de resistance here is his magic crowbar, which gives them all their power in the story. This adds an attack. +1 attack to Wrecker. It's attached to Wrecker as an attachment. As a forced response, after Wrecker attacks, you place 1 threat on the side scheme with the least threat. And as a hero action, you can exhaust your hero, discard a card at random from your hand to discard this card. So that's Wrecker, or at least as far as we know. And he has... he seems really really harsh. But like, I'll keep quickly running through these cards. Or do we want to take them? Like, does somebody else want to take Thunderball?
Yeah, we can pass it around. I can do Thunderball if you want.
I think that's a good idea.
Yeah, so Thunderball is the next villain we have up. He's got 3 scheme and 1 attack, and 13 hit points, it looks like. I can barely read it on his A side. Just like everybody else, when he schemes, his scheme goes on his side scheme, and then his forced response is after he attacks, deal 1 damage to each character you control. So he's going to be slamming allies every time he attacks you, but he's only got 1 attack, so he's not hitting the hero too hard. His side scheme starts at 5 threat. It can't leave play until he's out of play, and its special ability is Gamma Blast. Forest response, after threat is placed here, when it reaches 10, that's going to be a common theme, stun each friendly character, and then remove all but three threat from this scheme. So he's going to stun everybody when he blows up his scheme. And then he has he's got 2 attachments as well. So he has Radioactive Buildup. You attach it to Thunderball, and excess damage dealt by Thunderball is placed onto the corresponding side scheme instead of onto the player. So if he hits an ally and there's 3 extra damage, he gets to put 3 attack onto the player's or onto his side scheme. And this, it's kind of like charge. It gives him a +3 attack buff, so it can make him a 4, and then he can come swinging at an ally. And then his other attachment is Ball and Chain. You attach it to him, it gives him a static +1 attack. After he attacks, you place 1 threat on the main scheme. So here's another way that that main scheme can accelerate. And as a hero action, you can exhaust your hero and discard a random card from your hand to get rid of his Ball and Chain. And one thing that's terrifying to me is both of the cards revealed for his encounter deck so far. So there's 18 cards total in his little pod, but 2 of them are him himself and 1 is his schemes. There's 15 in his little deck, and both of them have 3 pips. So 2 of his 15 cards are 3 pips, which is a real large number.
Yeah, that is pretty huge.
He's boosting. He's boosting up. He seems brutal. I like that. I really like that. The theme of the attack turning into scheme.
Yeah, definitely. Looks like Pile Driver is 2 scheme, 2 attack, retaliate 1, and then when he schemes, he has a little star. When Pile Driver schemes, place the threat on his side scheme instead of the main scheme, which is a pretty common theme. Then his side scheme is Pile It On. Again, as you've noticed, this card cannot leave play while Pile Driver is in play. Then Pile Drive, force response, after threat is placed here, if there is 10 or more threat here, each player discards the upgrade or support they control with the highest cost, then remove all but 3 threat from the scheme. Just like the other two, he's got 2 attachments. He's got Distracting Taunts. Attached to Pile Driver gains +3 hit points. Players cannot attack other villains. Response. After your hero attacks Pile Driver, spend 2 physical resources and discard this card. Looks like they're really wanting us to run some physical resources. And then, his other card is not his weapon attachment. It is actually a normal card here. It is Pummel. Let me zoom in a little bit to see that. When revealed, alter ego, Pile Driver schemes. If Pile Driver is tough, he gets +2 scheme for this activation. When revealed, hero, Pile Driver attacks you. If Pile Driver is tough, he gains +2 attack for this scheme. That seems pretty standard, pretty kind of middle-of-the-road hero. He could definitely hurt you in a lot of ways, though.
It's definitely going to make you want to manage tough.
Yeah.
Oh, big time. Yeah, like pinging will be really useful against him.
Like She-Hulk and her ground slam.
Let's talk about them after. I'll just run through these cards and then let's break down our thoughts here.
All right, the last guy is Bulldozer. I'll get him through really quick. So Bulldozer has 1 scheme, 3 attack. When he schemes, he places it on his side scheme. There's a forced interrupt. When he attacks, he gains overkill. So he's overkilling every turn. Allies hate him. His side scheme is Clear the Road. Same thing. It can't leave play while he's in play. And starts with 4 threat, and the special ability is Charge. After threat is placed here, if there's 10 or more threat, discard all but 3, and then discard 10 cards from the top of each player's deck. So he is milling your deck. He has an attachment and a treachery, so his attachment is Ramming Speed. He gets +2 attack. When he attacks, you must defend against his attacks with an ally if you're able to, and he has overkill, so that's annoying. And after he attacks you, you discard the card. So it's like a mini charge that hates leadership. And then a treachery bull rush. When you're an alter ego, he schemes and then discard the top card of your deck for each threat placed, which is painful. And when you are in hero, he attacks you and discard the top card of your deck for each damage dealt. So he's milling. And then there's a treachery card we didn't mention. They said this was in each of the decks. It's called Buddy System. When revealed, choose the villain whose side scheme has the least threat. Reveal the top card of his deck, or top two cards if it's the last villain in play, or the only villain in play. And as a boost, that one moves the active counter to the villain of the with the side scheme who has the least threat. So not only is the most threat dangerous, the least threat could randomly activate without knowing.
Also to be noted, the best art that I can see there. You're teaming up on Cap.
Yeah.
Pummeling. I'm totally, I'm blown away, actually. I never thought that this was the way they would manage it. And it, once again, just lends to the idea that the design space is going to allow them to explore so many different ways of producing adventures and like different scenario decks. And there's just so many possibilities. It seems to me, it seems really difficult. One thing we didn't run through is actually how many hit points each of the villains have. It looks like Wrecker has 14, Thunderball has 13, Piledriver has 11, and Bulldozer has 12, which I find to be interesting because Piledriver is kind of the one who's trying to make you half attack, and he has the lowest hit point.
Yeah, sounds like he has a lot of tough in his deck, so that might balance it out.
I think the most interesting fact on these four heroes is, from a solo solo perspective, when going after these heroes, it's really going to depend on what your aspect is. If you're playing leadership, you're going to go after this hero. If you're playing, you'll be going after that hero. It's very interesting how these are going to work with the different heroes and the different aspects that you choose to play with. Because there's some of these are very punishing, especially against leadership. But even going against justice, you're going to want to get rid of probably the big schemers first, because you're just not going to have enough anti-threat to deal with it, even in justice.
This one seems like a really difficult puzzle to solve solo. Like, it seems quite difficult just out of the gate.
And you got to do it in 6 turns.
Yeah, I think even more than aspect, it's going to depend on what you end up with in your opening hand. You might just not be able to deal with one person or be able to deal with another. On the 6 turns things, you can still thwart against the main scheme. So you're wasting thwart by not hitting the side scheme, so more of them are going to pop. But you can give yourself more time. I don't think anything prevents you from doing that.
Yeah, nothing prevents you from doing that except for the fact that those are such punish. It's so punishing how if their side schemes go off, they all do something quite brutal.
Yeah, I think what you said earlier, Lester, about this being a threat management game, I've thought about it a lot as like which villain do I need to kill first, or which threat or scheme do I need to stop from popping off? But I think a lot of it, you got to think about, can be controlled by lowering someone's threat. Like if you're a leadership player and Thunderball just looks terrifying, just keep his threat in the middle, right? Because we know he won't activate as the main villain, and he probably won't activate as the lowest villain from Buddy System. So you got to kind of keep him in that sweet spot in the middle if you can.
Yeah, it seems like you're constantly juggling that. Like how they play out. And then one interesting thing I find is that it seems to me that you can defeat, say you defeat Bulldozer, but Clear the Road stays in play unless you clear all of the threat. So technically through Wrecker's ability, he could continue to raise that threat and have that and trigger Clear the Road. So I don't know, like, it seems so strange what to prioritize and how to do this once again, I'd actually have to play it to see mechanically how it rolls out. Maybe it's less difficult than I'm thinking, but it does. It seems like quite the puzzle. It's so much different than anything we've seen so far.
It looks very difficult.
The one nice thing is that, yes, their hit points are in the teens, but they don't have a number two. So when you kill them, they're gone. So in your heavy damage decks, like She-Hulk decks, you're going to be able to probably take one of these off of the table on turn one, maybe turn two, right off the bat. But man, having that scheme stay around, if Wrecker is still there, yeah, that scheme can still pop off. This is going to be a very tough group of villains to take down.
Yeah, I think you almost have to consider trying to move the scheme afterwards, even after you kill him, because then you have one less thing that could pop off from that slow passive threat.
I also think this one will be very fun to approach with a group of people, with your play group. This one seems like a neat puzzle to play solo, but I just feel thematically it'd be more fun to go toe-to-toe with like four villains and four heroes, because it needs to be noted that their hit points go up per player. So like Pile Driver in a four player game has 44 hit points. So, you know, like, I don't know, this game seems, or this particular scenario seems very, very interesting to me.
Yeah, we'll talk about it later in lore, but every time this crew like attacks a single Avenger, they just destroy him. Like, there's no chance. So solo's going to be real hard, and I think that's super thematic. So there's a couple cards that I thought we could point out that I think are really good against this team. So some people have been talking about it in Discord. So Jessica Jones is going to be awesome. There's all these side schemes that start in play, so she just starts crazy with Thwart. And then Iron Man's Helmet, I think, also pretty awesome. Going to remove one threat from each scheme when you're in aerial form. Anybody else have any cards they think would be standout?
Yeah, definitely Ground Slam. I mean, I know it's only one damage, but one damage across four characters guaranteed is, you know, pretty good offset. Well, it's Ground Slam costs two, so you're paying two for four damage. It's not too bad.
And it also lets you manage that that tough potential on Pile Driver.
I was thinking the same thing with Energy Daggers. I have to look at how they're worded, though. I think it says, like, deal damage to the villain and a bunch of things. So I wonder if it'll just be the active villain or what.
Yeah, it'd be the active villain because it's engaged with you or that person.
Okay. And then Crisis Interdiction, Captain Marvel, I think that'll be good just to keep working on more than one side scheme at a time. Because especially in solo, when you, like, that first turn, you probably have one thwart to deal with. You don't have a lot of thwarting to throw around unless you're Justice and going crazy.
Dude, I'm really looking at Captain Marvel Justice deck, trying the solo with them.
It'll be fun. One thing we didn't mention, each time one of these villains has a deck run out, you're going to get an acceleration token on that main scheme too. So by having four people in the game, and like we said, the decks are like 15 cards per villain, you're going to burn through that deck. And I guess it's like, what, eight cards a turn if they get no surges. So that's going to be like two turns and you could burn through a villain's deck, which is just insane. So those villains are going to be putting out acceleration tokens if you activate them as the active villain more than once, which is kind of crazy. Any other Wrecking Crew spoilery thoughts?
No, I really just can't wait to get these guys in my hand to really understand them.
I'm just curious to see what kind of minions, because they did mention that there were going to be some standard cards that go in every single deck to kind of create the theme. I believe the theme is they're breaking out of Riker's Island. So I'm just curious to see what each deck has to offer, what the similarities are, and what this, like, because they're not spoiling everything, so there's going to be something real nasty in here that we're not aware of yet.
So which villain side scheme are you the most worried about for your, like, your favorite deck?
For me, Pile It On seems the worst. That's brutal, taking away the support card, especially since you don't run a lot of them in your deck anyways. And losing, like, your Avengers Mansion hurts.
Yeah, Day of Reckoning for me. I mean, I've been really liking leadership and having multiple allies to help me manage threat and attack kind of, you know, simultaneously. When you're just doing it with one hero, it's really tough if minions get out of hand or whatever. So I feel like Wrecker and getting that Day of Reckoning up, he's going to smash you pretty hard.
Yeah, that's the one that worries me the most as leadership. I'm a little bit worried about Thunderstruck because, you know, stunning all your allies is pretty brutal too, but then you can still block with them. But if they all just get hit for two, like 90% of the allies die just with that or get one use then. It's going to force me to burn my allies a lot faster.
And seeing so we haven't seen any real mill effects, like heavy mill effects like Bulldozer does, that's really interesting too, because it's creating situations where you're pulling more encounter cards for yourself. And I don't know, they seem wild.
Yeah, they kind of said each of the villains counteracts like one of the main play styles. So there's going to be something counteracting each play style that you bring to it. So it's going to be pretty brutal. And the Wrecking Crew in general is just brutal. So we posted some stuff on Facebook that I read this week about Wrecking Crew. I think I said in the Thor stuff, I haven't read a lot of old comics before, but I went real deep with some suggestions people gave me. So I read Defenders 17 through 19, which is like the Crew's origin. So the Wrecker shows up way before this in a Thor issue, and he, like, you know, gets this enchanted crowbar because he's mistaken as Loki. And he gets put in prison because that's kind of like their trope. They get thrown in prison, they break out of prison and cause a bunch of havoc, beat up the Avengers, and then get thrown back in prison. So the Defenders arc, he busts them all out of prison and they try to go steal some bomb that Thunderball has made. And they successfully get it, but it's empty. And then they have to figure that mystery out. And by the end, the Defenders defeat them. But first, the Defenders get their faces handed to him. And this isn't like the wimpy street Defenders we know now. This is the Defenders when it was like Thor, Hulk, Doctor Strange, like real beefy heroes. But yeah, I read a bunch of issues. I also read Avengers 270 through 276, and they like join the Masters of Evil and they infiltrate Avengers Mansion and take over it. And they just like gang up on each Avenger as he gets home, and they beat down on Hercules, who's one of the strongest Avengers. Like, he replaces Hulk in the Hulk series for a while, and I'm really excited to see a card in here kind of with the name of Pylodon, but like the classic frame with them is like all four of them using their weapons to like hit one Avenger as he's just laying on the floor in pain. And I expect that somehow to happen in this scenario, like a Wrecker treachery card that just makes either everyone activate or everyone reveal a card. It'll be crazy. Because it happens to Hercules, and it happened again later to Hawkeye during an Austin run of Avengers 77 through 80. It was kind of a cruddy run, but the same exact scene happens. I swear they took the same panel and they just took Hercules out and put Hawkeye in, and he gets like punched to shreds. So I didn't know much about the Wrecking Crew. I had read them in some of the more recent works, and I knew they were terrifying, but now I know that they're like super terrifying, and I'm really worried about losing a lot.
Well, it seems like that's going to be a common theme. Losing to these guys.
Yeah, like I said, I probably read like 30 issues this last weekend between the Defenders, those two Avengers runs. There was some old Iron Man issue where he fights the Wrecker one-on-one, and there were a bunch of Thor issues where it's like Thor and the Warriors 3, and every single issue that they get like things handed to them before they figure it out. Like, it's not even close. The Wrecking Crew seems like they got these dopey costumes, they're super like campy, but they are no joke.
That's the old bait and switch, right? You look like a doofus and no one takes you seriously, and then you wreck them.
Yeah, I think Caleb made that joke in the stream. He was like, I don't think they've changed their costumes since they showed up in the 60s. And he's totally right. The costume is like, there was an issue from like 3 or 4 years ago. I guess, wow, it was like a decade ago because it was a Bendis run. But like the Wrecker literally still has the green jumpsuit and like purple mask pulled over his face. And I was just like, wow, that looks like obviously it's updated art, but it's literally the same costume. There has been no changes. But yeah, they're brutal. They beat down and they hit really hard. And they don't always work as a team. There's a couple other cool thematic things. I think they mentioned this, but the Thunderball guy is a PhD in the comics. So he's like Dr. so-and-so, and he invented this bomb. And that first issue, they came together as a team. So he's like kind of the smart guy. So he's got extra scheme, and his thing's all about putting scheme out. But he's still brutal in his own right. So he's got those big attachments that do a ton of damage. Pile Driver and Bulldozer are basically just big bruisers. So they seem like they're doing a ton of damage. One of them is doing more damage to your deck, and one of them is doing more damage to your face. So works both ways. And like we've said, Wrecker's the leader. He's just getting rid of all sorts of things. I was a little surprised. So his magic crowbar is what gives everybody else their powers. So I thought it was going to, it kind of buffs everybody, but I thought it was going to like really buff the entire team when it came out. Not so much, but it was pretty close. I was happy.
Another thing I wanted to note was how Caleb had suggested kind of for people to go nuts. Like, you're provided with cards, but if you want to alter this scenario at all, or try to say fight one villain, like just say fight just Wrecker. Although I don't know if he'd be the one to do, because his real strength comes from, you know, buffing the whole team. But he kind of made it seem like they sort of designed it to be kind of open source a little bit.
Yeah, and the official card says use everybody on A or use everybody on B. But he said, you know, you could make two of them their B side and have like a medium difficulty thing too. It doesn't have to just be standard and expert. I even saw some people speculating on Discord. What if you like threw one of these in with your like regular villain? I think some of it would work, but cards like Buddy System wouldn't make much sense when there's not more than one Wrecking Crew member. But you could throw Thunderball aside another villain and like only have him activate against the first player or something crazy. But there's definitely ways to use these cards. I know I saw a lot of people were disappointed there's not a modular set, but it seems like there's so many cards in this pack already, there's just not room for the modular set.
I think there'll be enough time spent trying to figure this one out, especially with the two difficulty levels, that it won't really matter that much.
Yeah, I was going to say I'm going to lose against it so much that I'm not going to notice the lack of a modular set.
And it is nice to see no Shadows of the Past.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting too that this totally is on optional purchase, right? You don't have to purchase it just because you want to get some updated Agents of Hydra or something like that. It's really standalone, and that, in my opinion, shows promise to the way they've approached designing this game.
It's really staying true to what they said about they want like everything to be an entry point. And it's super thematic too, as far as not having the obligations and like side schemes in there. I mean, if you're Jennifer Walters, you don't have time to go back and deal with legal action. You're on Rikers Island stopping a breakout. You can't just be like, oh, time out, guys. I'm going to go solve a law case and come back. All right. I think that's all we had to talk about with the Wrecking Crew. So we'll probably do another episode at the end of November, assuming something comes out. And if something doesn't, we might do one anyway and just tell you about how we're either losing or winning this month. So
it is nice to have these little smaller, shorter episodes just with these reveal cards. But yeah, we're going to have a lot of fun playing against these people and losing against these people.
Hopefully some winning too, just a little bit. All right, again, thanks for tuning in. That's all we got for today for Marvel Champions Monthly.